Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to my Blog Talk Radio show, Live Your Music. I'm Margot Joy Denader, and I am a creative life balance coach and the author of The Art of Living a Life You Love. I am excited to have my inspiring friend, Leslie Keenan, as my guest today. Leslie has been helping people access their creativity, find the time to do what they most love, and complete their projects for over 30 years. She works as a writing coach, teacher, editor, and workshop leader. She lives right here in Marin County, California, with her daughter, Mia. Do you have a book or books in you? Do you feel stuck, overwhelmed, or afraid to get started? Have you started, but you're not sure how to complete your book or get it published? Join us for a conversation on how Leslie Keenan is living her music by helping writers write and complete their books. Hello, Leslie. Are you there?
I am here. Hi, Margot. Happy to be here.
Hi. Oh, I'm so happy to have you back on my show. I had you on quite a while ago, but so much has happened since then, and you've got your new book out, and I'm so excited about it because it's based on the class that got me to complete my book. And, oh, God, it's so exciting to have you on the show 15 years after I first took your first class, which, for me, it took me a long time, Leslie, because, as you know, I had to believe that I could even be a writer. And so Thank you for all you did to help me believe that if I kept showing up and writing as much as I could each week, that someday it would turn into a book, and it did. So, you know, thanks to you.
Well, actually, nothing gives me greater pleasure than watching people actually go through that entire process and complete. I love every step along the way. One of my favorites is when people finally realize, oh, wait, I'm actually a writer because I'm writing. That's a good place. But actually completing is a good place, too.
And then, yeah.
And then
I know.
The book in your hands.
Yeah. It took me a really long time. It doesn't have to take people anywhere near as long time as it took me. But the thing is that at the time, I was a mom. Well, I'm still a mom, but I was a mom with a child at home. And I know that, you know, that was my first priority. So taking just a few minutes each morning, well, there was 10 or 15 minutes each morning to show up and write in pencil just was, you know, that was all I could do at the time. But it was a slow process, but I enjoyed the whole journey. And the reason I did was because of having you and your classes and your private coaching. And I'm so thankful for you and what you've helped me believe that I can do. And I just love seeing that stack of books that we've got in the slideshow of all those books. And my book's one of them in that list.
<That's>
I mean,
right.
That list, the stack of books.
That's right.
Yeah. And today is also a special day because we share birthdays for your mom and your aunt and my Aunt Bobby. So happy birthday to all of them. I can't. That is so amazing that they have the same birthday the same year.
Right.
Anyway, I have so many questions to ask you about the book. And I want to start with the fact that we have, what's one thing writers need to be doing to ensure that they really do finish their book?
Well, the main thing that writers need to do is, it sounds really simple, but it's actually very hard, and it's showing up. It's what you just talked about. Even in the middle of your life with your son in your house and your busy mom, you would show up with your pencil and your pad, and you'd sit down and you'd write. And that turns out to be the magical key that leads to everything else. But first of all, believing that it's going to make a difference when maybe you only have 10 minutes at first takes a while to get through. And second, the forces that, you know, when you are faced with the blank page, all this negativity usually comes out. You know, you think all the reasons why you can't do it before you can get past that to writing it. And actually, writing is the only antidote to those negative thoughts. But again, a lot of people never get to that because they just get dissuaded. They start thinking, who cares about this anyway, or who am I to think that I can do this? And they stop. So that's the first thing that I encourage people to do, is just pick a time and a place and make it like having your morning coffee or brushing your teeth, that it's a habit, and you just do it. And you trust. It requires a lot of trust, because you have to trust that it will lead to something. But you don't find that out until you actually start to do it.
So yeah, and what you said is so true. I would get my cup of coffee, and I would get in my, had a comfortable place to write where I could take my pad of paper and put my feet up on a footstool and just show up to write for however long I could each morning, like 10 minutes, 15 minutes. Sometimes on the weekends it would be a half hour or more. Just writing, letting myself write the flow writing, which you freed me up to be able to do. And then later, you know, editing is a whole different ball game than just getting the flow writing done originally. So,
right.
Yeah.
Well, that's one of the other things that stops people, is that they start to read what they've written, and they listen to it or see it and think, oh, I need to fix this. And then they stop and try and fix it. And that takes you, as you just said, it takes you out of the flow of writing. And, you know, the flow writing is really the what we think of as the creative right side of the brain. And editing is really more of a left brain activity. And you really can't do both at the same time. So every time you stop and reread what you've done, you're switching into the other side. And that's interrupting the flow. So I believe that's one of the other things I say, that's a simple thing people can do to stay in the flow, is to not reread what you've written, either while you're writing or the day before when you come back again, is to just keep going in flow, and that helps you stay out of the editing brain until you have enough pages accumulated that you can switch to doing editing.
Yeah. And you know what helped me a lot with that too, because especially with doing book layout and design in Dudley's business, my husband's business, when I first started taking your class, the first week or two, I was trying to write on the computer, and I found that not only was I editing as I was going, ooh, maybe I'll try this font, or maybe I'll try that font, or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I was doing a combination of layout and design and edit, you know, critiquing what I was writing and cutting and pasting and whatever. So I remembered Wayne Dyer saying that he always wrote all of his books by hand, and so that's why I'd gotten out the pad of yellow paper that I do my morning pages on, and decided, okay, I'm gonna write by hand, because that way just whatever comes out, I can edit it later, but it's gonna just be flow writing. So
right. And for some people that works. For other people, it's easier to write in flow on the computer because they can go faster and keep up with their thoughts. And, you know, one of the other things I really encourage people to do is figure out what's the best way for you, and to work in the way that works for you. And to also understand that there are times when you're going to want to write by hand and times when you might want to write on the computer directly. I mean, you don't have to stick to only one way. A lot of people find it easier to write longhand if there's something particularly difficult or emotional that they're trying to write.
Mm-hmm.
And then if they're trying to capture thoughts and they're afraid they're not going to be able to catch them all, then they might want to type on the computer. I know there's something that happens when you write by hand. It affects the brain in a different way than when you type. But also when you type, you're actually, because you're using your left and your right hand, you're actually stimulating both sides of the brain. So both have their benefits.
I'd never thought of that before, Leslie. You're right. They do use your left and your right. Well, the other thing is I'm not as fast at typing as some of the people maybe are. And so for me, it wasn't the fastest way necessarily, because I would end up making a lot of mistakes, and especially with doing the, quote, editing while I was doing it and playing with it. But you're right. I mean, there have been times when I do sit at my computer and it just flows out. You know, what I'm writing. So, yeah, I agree. Both ways are fantastic. And that's one of the things I absolutely love about your classes and also about your book, is that you realize that we're all different and that you allow us to do it in the way that works for us.
Right. And, in fact, a lot of the time that I spend in the class and in the book, is giving people permission to really look at what works for them. I mean, you said that you like to write every single morning. Well, some people can't write in the morning. They want to write at night after their kids are asleep. Or some people can't write during the week and they want to write on the weekend. I always tell the story of this one guy who was one of my students who always wrote on the ferry ride into work in the morning. You know, it doesn't matter what works for you. And there is many different reasons. Like some people need a long block of time to really get deep into what they're writing. So for them, it might be better to do 4 hours on a Saturday, whereas other people might want to do 20 minutes a day because if they're always engaged in it, they kind of stay in the story and they're always thinking about it during the week. So, you know, there's a lot of different ways to go. And as I said, sometimes you change. Like when my daughter was born, well, I couldn't do the 3 times a week that I had been doing for a while. You know, I had to just do once a week at a certain time. And, you know, and that's where I am again right now, where I just do, you know, I have one dedicated hour once during the week that I write for sure. You know, so, you know, your life changes and you change it, but you can adapt and you've got to remember to make it a priority.
And, that's, I think, one of the keys is to make it a priority. And I don't know about you, but I found that for me that doing it at a similar time of day helped too.
Yes,
you know,
it's making it a habit. It's a I spend a lot of time talking about the importance of habits. And, it, you know, what I was talking about before of the blank page being so frightening because every negative thought you've ever had comes to you as you're looking at the blank page, whether it's on the screen or on the pad.
Right.
And the habits can help you get past that. You know, it can help you just go, oh, okay, I'm just going to, you know, open up this file and get to the place where I left off and look at my notes from before and just keep going. You know, so that makes it easier than always having to start up again. And by the way, that's another trick that I use, I tell people to use. Which is not to write yourself dry every time you show up. People oftentimes, when you get in flow and you're so happy, you just want to keep going. But if instead you put a limit on how long you're going to stay showing up for and and end before you've written everything out that you're thinking of and just leave yourself some really good notes on what you want to do next, then the next time you show up to write, you go and you just read those notes and it sort of puts you right back in that place and then you can keep going.
I love that. I remember you talking about that when you were my coach for the book.
The first time I heard about that was kind of a funny thing. I love Barbara Pym, who's an English writer from, I don't know, the 50s, I guess, is when her books first came out. And and she had, one of her characters in one of her books was a writer, and she described how she would literally, of course, she was on a typewriter at the time, she would literally stop in the middle of a sentence when she ended her writing it, so she could go back and pick up where she left off in the middle of a sentence. And I love that idea.
I love that.
And I think Ernest Hemingway also talks about not writing yourself dry. So
that is really cool.
Yeah.
So now, what's one of the most surprising things that writers need to do to complete their book?
Well, that was one of the things I was going to say for that, was to not write yourself dry and to not read over what you've written. To stay in flow until the end. As I said, a lot of people get self-conscious or know that what they're writing isn't their best work, so they want to fix it. And whenever you do that, it stops you and it interrupts you. So if you're really looking to complete the book, and to me, in the fastest way possible, now not everybody does this. Again, there's no one right way. But what I have found for myself and for many, many people that I've worked with is when you just keep writing in flow, get all the ideas in your head out on the page, and then go back, that leads you to completion faster than trying to do it as you go along. Because often you'll end up editing something that might not even end up being in the book in the end.
So true. So true.
Yeah.
So now, why is it so difficult to keep writing for so many people?
Well, people get stuck for a lot of different reasons. I mean, one is what we were just talking about. I didn't really name it yet, but the idea of the inner critic, which is that constant voice in the back of us that's telling us that we're not good enough and who do we think we are and, you know, you shouldn't write at all. And that voice is always there. It's never going to go away. But as I said, the antidote to it is actually to write. When you're writing, usually that stuff falls away. But as soon as you stop, it comes up again. So a lot of people get stuck just because they get an attack of the inner critic as soon as they've written something and they just can't stand it, and so they just put it aside. Another reason is that people will often Well, there's a couple of things that happen. One is a lot of people end up trying to put everything that they know in one book because they think this is their only shot, and they sort of are writing three books instead of just one. And
right.
once they take it out and let it be the smaller book that is really there, then they can complete it. Other people get stuck because they don't know how it's going to end, and they need to give themselves permission to let the characters go. I mean, if it's a novel, let the characters go and find out what they have to say. And that can be scary because it might not be what you thought it was going to be. So that will often get people stuck.
Well, you know, there's actually my guest for next week is going to be Michelle Gordon. She's an author, and she's written a lot of books, and she's been on my show before. She's the author of a series called the Earth Angel Training Academy, and she says that she doesn't want to know at the beginning, they're fiction books, she doesn't want to know at the beginning of the book how it's going to end because that would be boring to her. She wants to find out what the characters say comes next, so she just listens for what comes next. So she does what you're talking about.
Yeah, and that's great when it works. A lot of people, you know, fear letting go of control because that's what you're doing. You're letting go of control. The positive spin on it, yeah, is it's like reading the book because you don't know what's going to happen, and it's an adventure to you. A lot of
right.
people, though, start out sort of with an idea of the ending. And they might, in fact, there were two people in my class just the other night who were like, I said, it's like you know where you're trying to go to when the characters keep driving left and you think they need to go straight. And they're like, yeah. So what you have to do is go left, see where they're going, and trust that either they're going to end up at that ending somehow that you can't see, or that ending is for a different book. You know, it might be something different.
Right.
But engaging in that process, to me, that's what the creative process is. And this is true whether it's fiction or nonfiction, that, you know, you're sort of engaging yourself with that creative material. And, you know, if you want to stop it and control it, then, you know, it might dry up, basically. So to me, it's always a kind of a battle between controlling it and letting it flow.
Sounds just like the rest of life, really. You know?
Exactly. Well, it is like the rest of life.
You know, all of life is really a balance. That's part of why I call myself now a creative life balance coach, because, you know, it's about getting into balance is what I enjoy, not just one particular area of coaching, and helping people feel more balanced overall in their life and have some time for creativity. But, you know, all of it is like, you know, you have to decide. You have to kind of realize there's a balance in everything in life. And, you know, we can tend to get too critical of ourselves and then not do anything. So I've always thought that that word perfectionism means paralysis is so true,
mm-hmm.
because
right.
whenever I try to think of the best way to say something or the best way to do something, then all of a sudden my inner critic goes absolutely crazy. And
right.
in the slideshow, I have the picture that's in the book of the four different inner critics there. And one of
yeah.
the things I love that you had us do in the class is draw those inner critics. So tell the listeners a little bit about that, why you do that. And
well, because I want, like I said, the critic's always there, and it's never going to go away. So instead of trying to get rid of those horrible voices, what I do is let people know who their critic is and see the critic and meet the critic. And then you work with the critic. Instead of trying to shut the critic up, we lower the voice of the critic and raise the voice of the other parts of ourselves, you know, the more creative and hopeful sides.
Mm-hmm.
And know that, you know, the critic's job, really, the critic is trying to prevent you from being criticized in the outside world. The best way for the critic to do that is to never have you write a word. And
right.
so that's actually what the critic is trying to do. And once you understand that, once you externalize that by drawing the critic out and really giving the critic a say, then you can say, okay, that's an interesting perspective. And you know what? While I'm writing this first draft, I'm going to put you over here on the side of my office and I'll consult with you at the end. I've actually written agreements with people's inner critics to tell them they're not allowed to have a say in the first draft, but in the second draft they can. In other words, you do want to have a healthy critiquing, not the paralyzing perfectionism that you just described, but
mm-hmm.
some really discernment of editing, which is a little bit critiquing. You want that
mm-hmm.
in your second draft, or your third draft. I'm not sure which draft it would come in.
Well, and the other thing that's important for people to realize, that at least this helped me a lot, was realizing that you can have people help you with the editing, because you were able to help
right.
me with the basic editing,
right.
and then
right.
we went into Julia, and she helped with the line editing
right.
for the book.
Right.
So there are people
right.
that can help you with that aren't as close to it, and they
right.
can... They can help
they
you do it.
They can't write it for you, although you can hire a ghostwriter. But, you know, they can't
right.
put it down
right.
on paper for you. But once it's on paper, yeah, it can be rearranged. It can, you know, I often have people talk about how they didn't feel like they could write because they didn't know how to spell, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a pretty easy thing to fix. But,
oh, yeah.
You know, the critic will latch on to anything that it can to get you to stop writing, and that's a pretty common one. Another one
yeah.
is feeling like you're too old.
Mm.
A lot of people... I actually work with a lot of people who are in, I would say, the second half of life and are finally able to really give themselves permission to do what they've been wanting to do all along. And I love that.
Yeah.
So.
Now, we're running out of time. Not running totally out of time, but it's already, we've only got about 8 minutes left, and I just wanted to ask the questions that I asked during my shows, and then we'll get back to talking more about your book. You can complete that book. So everyone listening, what music do you hear calling you? What do you feel inspired to do? What gives you joy? Are you willing to let go of your limiting beliefs and let yourself live your music? I hope each of you listening will do your best to love yourself, love the people and animals in your life, live your music, and enjoy your time on this beautiful planet we call Earth. And Leslie, you know, you are doing such an amazing job of living your music by doing what you do, and I am so grateful for you. And I know that there's a lot of other people out there. There are a lot of other people out there that are grateful for you as well. What do you mean by seducing the muse? Back to
I love saying that. Well, we talked about that a little bit, but to me, the creative side of you is like the way I like to imagine it is. Let's say you were trying to date it has to be a woman because the muse is female, you know. Or if it was you, what would you want someone to be dating you to do? And you know, well, you'd want them to be on time, you'd want
mm-hmm.
them to be dressed nicely, you'd want them to maybe bring you flowers or chocolate or something. So seducing the muse means treat that part of you that where this creativity is sourced, treat them the way they want to be treated. So then they will show up for you. That's the idea of it. It's a little bit like the habits, but it's a little bit more. I once worked with a client who kept thinking she was procrastinating because whenever she would show up to write, the first thing she would do was clean her entire office. And I said, well, let's look at it a different way. Maybe your muse wants the office to be clean. So she started getting in the habit of cleaning her office and putting a flower on her desk before her writing time, so then she would show up and write. She was very happy to write. Luckily, my muse does not require that. She does
yeah,
want
luckily,
me to go for
luckily
long walks.
Mine,
you know?
Luckily or unluckily,
yeah.
mine doesn't either. But you're right. It's funny, even after taking the classes with you years ago, having you doing coaching and helping you with the layout for your book, so I've been through it, like, all through it. I don't remember hearing that about the muse, about how you seduce the muse, and I love that.
Well, you already described yours, right? You have a yellow pad. You said yellow. It has to be a yellow
right.
legal pad, a pencil, a nice chair,
right.
your coffee nearby. That's what you need.
Yeah, and it can't be a legal size legal pad, though. It has to be 8.5 by 11 or else.
Oh, okay, there you go.
The legal
very
ones
specific.
Are too legal
right.
seeming for me.
Right. right.
So,
well,
yeah,
okay.
you're right. That's how
yeah.
I do it.
Yeah, and I used to, I can't do this right now because of my constrictions with my daughter, but what I used to do was always go for a walk, a long, you know, like a half an hour walk, and then sit down
mm-hmm.
and write after that. And I still get so many ideas when I'm walking. So that's always been something I include in my routine. Another thing that my muse wants me to do is write in my journal every day. Not everybody likes to do that, but I do. So,
yeah,
you know, again,
me,
this is where you personalize
true.
It.
Yeah.
You know, think about what you need. Another thing, a lot of people have trouble with being distracted by the internet. So maybe you need to. Oh, I had one student who would write in her car in a place that didn't have internet, so she could be on her laptop but without an internet connection. You know, whatever you need to do to not be distracted.
Oh, that's so true. I mean, it's like everything in life lately is a distraction. I'm really thankful that I wrote that first book back when there, you know, I was barely even on the internet ever at that time and during the beginnings of it. And one of the things that I really love that you helped me do to, in order to complete the book, though, is, and you have this in the book also, is the idea to make a list of 10 book ideas so that you don't feel like once you finish this one, you won't have another one to write.
That's
you want
right.
to talk about that a little bit?
Well, that's an exercise I often do in my other class, which is there a book in you class? And I realize it's helpful here, too, which is just that from in my experience, most writers have more than one book idea in their head. And if you, first of all, if you honor and acknowledge the creative thoughts that you have, you get more. So just listing them is a really helpful thing to do. But then when you start to take your creativity seriously and you look at that list, you see, oh, wait, there's something here I actually want to do. That will give you the impetus to finish. I mean, because one of the other reasons people don't finish their books is because they're afraid to. Because they're like, some people are going to miss the characters that they've been with for so long, or they're afraid of what's going to happen next. Or maybe they won't have another idea.
Right.
So they slow the whole process down. Well, if you have another idea, that will help you kind of get this one done, so you can move on to the next one.
So true. Well, I've got a list of five of them that are I've got in my. Book and then also the ones from originally from when I was doing the book with you, and it's like because it took me so long to finish the first one, I haven't really wanted to do them, but I mean I've got all these books that have been wanting me to write them, and so I think that I'm ready to do the next ones quickly.
Well, you know what I would say to you, Margo, is maybe you still have this idea that that's how long a book takes and you need to change that thought so you can
exactly
do a book quicker.
Exactly. Yeah, because I've got Live Your Music, Color Your Life with Joy, Angels in the Sun, Aloha Love, Notes from Joy, and then the ones from back when I was with you, 365 Days of Sunshine, Words of Love, Hope, and Joy for parents, for teens, and for everyone. You know, I mean, it's like, so who knows? Maybe I'll write all of them next year. I don't know. You know, I'll have to wait and see.
Well, now that's another thought to give to your listeners is that you also don't have to stick with one book all the way. I've always had at least two things that I'm working on at the same time. Usually one is in a more, you know, one is more one that's sort of moving towards completion and one is a newer one coming in. But I'm often working on more than one. And one of the benefits of that is if you are really stuck in one, you can go to the other, so you're still doing something. And the other one is you can be maybe writing in the flow stage with one and being more of doing the editing on another one.
That's great. You know, we only have two minutes left, and I want to make sure that people know how to contact you, and they can find you online on your website at lesliekeenan.com. That's LesLieKeenan.com, and they can also get your book. You can complete that book on Amazon, correct?
That's right. That's correct. You can find it through my website, or you can go directly to Amazon to find it. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's available both as an actual paper book, which I've got right here in front of me, and I just love it, or you can also get it as a Kindle, correct?
Correct.
Yeah. Oh, thank you, Leslie. Thank you, thank you, thank you for all you've done for me and helped me be, believe, do, create, and, you know, it just, I am so grateful for you.
Well, you know, I just want to say one other thing, that one of the reasons I like to do this is I think there's a lot of books out there that need to be written, that we need, and I really want to help those writers who have them inside to really have the courage to put them down and let us read them.
Yes. So. Well, thank you, everyone, for listening. I highly recommend that you get Leslie's book. You can create that book, and if you want some private coaching with her, you can also contact her through her website. Thank you again, Leslie, for being on.
Thank you, everyone,
for listening. And until next week, I will say, live your music, everyone. Bye for now.